Next up, we'll have Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch. Greg, want to raise your hand one more time? We'll start off with Greg Engel.
Hey, gents. Soak in the view. Greg Engel, over here, Denny. Forbes. I want to talk to hi, Kyle. I want to talk on your team owner side. How does an event like this, coming to a market like this, is it an advantage for the 23 team in terms of marketing and helping you market? Can you take advantage of being out here and take advantage of some of those networking opportunities that may be available nowhere else?
Well, typically the Clash in general is a hard race to sell sponsorship for. Just in general, it's a very short race. But certainly this one is as much build up as it has. It enables you to, you know, put it on the schedule as a legit race that, you know, you can sell for what you would sell for a normal event. On the other side, the team ownership, I just want to know what it's going to cost for us to do this. That's really all I care about. Your costs cannot exceed your expenses. No, the other way, your revenue. It costs a lot. It costs the same. So, you know, if the race pays less and your sponsor pays less, it makes less sense.
Who's next? Go to Bob.
Okay. Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Denny, you were kind of looking at your car afterward. You had a lot of scrapes on it on the right side. Were you concerned or curious? And, you know, how did this car react when it hit the wall versus the others?
It was similar. It didn't stick to the wall quite as much, you know, but it really looked like they just could repair some decals on it. It, you know, they didn't have to beat anything out. So it seems like obviously the material that we're using that's just similar to the Xfinity car, you won't, you know, you'll be able to rub it a little bit more than the normal for sure.
Go to Jeff.
Yeah, what do you guys think of this so far? I mean, what do you think of the setting, the event, everything like that?
I mean, I think it's all good. It's been fun so far. You know, definitely different and interesting with the ability of what we're all trying to accomplish and do here and put on a really good show, put on a really good race. I think that there's an opportunity. So, with as much, as Denny said, with as much hype and everything that's kind of built into this event, let's make it one, you know? So, keep it going. So far, so good. Keep it going.
We'll go to Zach, then Reed.
Zach Sterniola with Front Stretch. Guys, you both are involved with a lot of grassroots racing. You have a garage in a parking lot right now, and you guys are driving on the streets to get back and forth to the racetrack at this point. Do you guys get that, sort of grassroots feel despite how big this event is and how this is moving the sport forward?
Is grassroots a good thing? I mean, do F1 cars run through gravel street roads to get to the track? No. I'm probably a little different than what the general public thinks, that, like, let's get back to the roots of, you know, when it was much, much smaller sport. I think you got to continue to grow, and you got to continue to make the fan and the competitors' experience better and better. That's to me how you grow. Is you want to have a place where, you know, parking's good, traffic flow's good, great amenities, great place to, you know, get a drink or food quickly at a racetrack. All those things are very underrated in our sport and the growth of it.
Reed, you can just holler out your question.
Kyle, you were the first to win in the COT. You were the first to get Toyota's win in Atlanta in 2008. Is there any extra incentive to be the first to win in the new car at a new venue like this?
I would say no, but of course, in the back of my mind, you would say yeah. You want to be the first guy, but I think many of us would argue that the first race for this vehicle will be the Daytona 500. You know, we're here, obviously it is a race. Yes, there will pay somebody at the end of the day to win it. But the, you know, this is more, as we've kind of alluded a little bit, where it's a show. I mean, that's fine. And we're going to do our best job of being able to put on a good show. There's going to be a race involved. There's going to be a checker flag at the end of it. And, you know, I've been involved in this sport enough where there's a lot of asterisks on the things that I accomplished. So I'm sure me winning this race, I did not win the first race with the new car. It would be whoever wins Daytona. That's how it would go. So
we'll go to Jerry, then Jenna, then Bob.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. Along those lines, are you guys glad to be done with the offseason and moving forward and heading to Daytona next weekend and to get this season underway?
As a driver, yes. I'm excited. You know, our off season is always very short when you consider. I mean, we get a couple weeks in November. I personally get December, and then start of the turn of the new year, we're meeting with you guys and doing production days and whatnot. So it's really, you know, kind of about a 7-week window where we have off. As a team, I wish we had a few more weeks. There's general and real concern over part supplies for cars, and so. I just wish we had, you know, a little bit more time to prepare for on that front. I know our team loaded up like 2:45 in the morning or something. So it's just the hours on the guys is what's tough right now. And so if we had more time, then we wouldn't have to push them so hard.
What
was the question?
Are you glad to be, you know, this off season? You did a lot during the off season, but are you glad it's behind you now?
Yeah, I mean, not being on the ownership side in the Cup Series, I don't feel the stress that these guys do. So being a driver, I'm like, what are y'all waiting for? But, yeah, I mean, it's nice to have a few off weeks, get a few chances to kind of chill out and, you know, relax a little bit. And then once it's time to get going, like Denny said, it's pretty much January that you start your year with production shoots, video shoots, media stuff, whatever it might be, to then get set for the year and starting here in LA, and then 1 week, I guess, off again to start our season for real in Daytona.
Go Jenna, Bob, and wrap with Lewis.
When Denny won the Clash as a rookie, the Atlanta newspaper wrote, "Denny, who did what?" And it sort of was a big deal, like that winning the Clash was still a really big thing. And I think maybe you guys disagree that kind of diluted a little bit over the last few years. Does it being here make the Clash special again? And is this, like, despite the asterisk you would receive if you won it, is it worth it to go all out and try to win this race again?
I think so. I mean, things get diluted for a lot of different reasons. Back then, you had to get a pole. I mean, that was the only way you get in. And over time, if enough teams complain that they're not a part of it, they, you know, rules get changed to make it to where more people can be included. Well, anytime you do that, you dilute it, and it's not as special. It's no different than our playoffs that have gone from 10 to 12 to 16. You know, it's, you know, making the playoffs, I remember in 06, 07. I mean, it's hard. And you had, you know, some legit guys that could win each and every week, like, not make the playoffs. But that made the 10 real, really, really special. But as you dilute it a little bit more, it certainly is not as special. This format, certainly where you have to get in on your own merit, there's only one provisional. There's no inclusion for someone that's got high in this or that. It's back to being, in my opinion, it's going to be the best 23 cars on the racetrack, or the best 20 cars this weekend anyway. So certainly in my mind, it makes it more prestigious than just getting in on one of the 10 things that you can get in on.
Bob.
Compared to what you thought the car might practice like, how did it practice? I mean, was it much different than what you thought? Was there anything that really surprised you in that practice?
I think lap times were a little bit quicker than many of us expected or anticipated. The driving of the car was about as much as I'd expect it to be. You know, I think some of the issue is just brakes on entry, you know, making sure you can slow down fast enough for the tight confines to be able to make the turn that you have. The acceleration to me was better than I had anticipated. You know, better forward drive out of the turn, so not as much wheel spin as I'd expected. But the tight confines was when I got into practice a little bit and had some cars in front of me and around me and stuff like that. It definitely was like, oh, okay, it's tight. Like, how are you going to find a way to pass? You know, some guys kind of holding and protecting low. You know, the only way to get them out of the way is push them out of the way. So I think they're going to see some of that as it comes down towards some opportune times when more is on the line.
From my standpoint, I thought the car turned the corner just better than I thought. I mean, I think there was no way our old car was going to make it around these corners. But this one, you know, we talked about how it's better for road course racing. These corners are very, very tight, tighter than anything that we have. And it cornered, you know, quite a bit better than what I was anticipating. But other than that, everything was the same.
Lewis?
Denny, you brought up the topic of cost. The old clash resulted in some severely torn up cars. And while there might be some damage here, do you sleep better at night knowing that your cost will be low, especially in view of these are new cars?
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, if you, like, really crash one, I think here you're, you know, probably looking at 50 grand worth of stuff. I mean, that's our guess, but yes, it's not a total loss like a Daytona clash would be.
Kyle, Denny, thank you for your time. Good luck tonight and tomorrow.